Welcome. And Pete Winston's going to pray for us.
Father, thank you so much for a luscious breakfast this morning. Thank you for the comfortable beds we've had. And thank you that we get to listen from your word this morning. And pray as we split up and look at your word, you'd help us to gain from it so that we may serve you in this coming year. Amen.
Amen.
Brilliant. Welcome. Welcome to the weekend. Who is newly arrived since last night? Who's fresh here this morning? Yeah, welcome. Very good. Well done for getting here bright and early. Did you make it for breakfast? It's a shame. It's a shame. Breakfast is the big event here. But good you're here. Particularly welcome to Christian Explored people who've joined me this morning. I did 3 years at St. Helens leading Christian Explored. It's very, very exciting. You'll have a great year, I think. Not just exciting watching people's eyes be opened, helping people as they wrestle whether to believe or not, but also exciting, really exciting, leading Mark's Gospel, Christian Explored. It's probably sort of the case you can't really understand Mark's Gospel until you've been through it with a non-Christian, I think. It's so much is designed, basically designed for Christian Explored groups. As you watch people try and work out the most, do you still do this? The most fun bits used to be the bits where people read it during the week, and then that first half hour where you say, any questions? And I went into those thinking any questions would lead to sort of vicious, cruel questions about the unforgivable sin or the, you know, and stuff that would be weird. But week after week, people would be, this is really exciting, isn't it? And what about this? And what does this mean? And the questions would be straight out of Mark and would. But often the most productive discussions would be that bit rather than the bit after the talk. Because Mark is on your side. That's one of the things I want to say this morning. So you're here, Christian Explored leader, you're here because you want people to hear the gospel. Student leaders, I guess, same thing. There'll be lots of non-Christians in our groups, but also you want to grow disciples. That is what Mark wants to do, those two things. That's why he wrote his book, and he is good at it. As far as we know, Mark is the preaching of Peter, written down by Mark. The Apostle Peter was quite good at those two things, evangelism and discipleship. And that's what you have in your hands to work with. I want to try and persuade you that this morning. Mark is on your side. He's good at his job. Relax and let Mark do the work, basically. So very exciting. Great to have Christian Explored leaders here. Mark is a really fun book. Brilliantly told story. Very exciting, very profound, very direct encounter with Jesus. I love Mark, excited about teaching Mark, even though it's teaching Mark again. I'm excited about doing that. The challenge with Mark, though, is that he does it in narrative. He won't necessarily tell you what he's doing. The guys just through there in the gents' loos doing Romans, they're in the ladies' loos, aren't they, the Romans guys? But anyway, all they've got to do really is flip open 12 verse 1, and Paul in Romans will say, I've told you about the gospel so that you will sacrifice yourself. And that's very easy, isn't it? Here we are, that's what it is. Whereas Mark does most of it in story. So we're going to do quite a bit this morning thinking about how to work with Mark, how to understand what Mark's saying so that we're confident about it. My aim for this session is we go from Mark being a jumbled list of things that happened to Jesus that you remember from Sunday school through to a structure so you know how the whole book fits together. You know what's going on. Mark is very, very deliberately structured. There's some stuff we're not sure if he meant it or not, but we're not going to do any of that this morning. The stuff this morning is absolutely rock solid. Mark meant you to get this. It's not a kind of, here's a structure we're imposing on it. And my aim is that we could blindfold you, put you down anywhere in Mark, and you'd know exactly where you were, you'd know what Mark was doing at that point, you'd know where the temperature was, and you'd know why that bit was there. And if you can do that, that will give you real confidence when you teach it. It's the difference between, oh, do you see this is something about Jesus? And have you got it yet? Believe, or whatever. It's that confidence you are where Mark is going. You know exactly what it's all about. Get the weight of the story behind you. And we're going to work on Mark's purpose as we go through. What does Mark want to do? So turn the first page. And we're going to build up a structure to Mark. And we're going to draw a little diagram that we're going to keep getting fuller and fuller and more complicated. And basically, at any point when your brain is full, just sort of stop there and ignore the rest of more stuff we put in it. So if this year all you can get is what's on this page here, that will be very helpful. You'll twig a lot of what the book's about. Just stop when your brain is full And if you're here last year, then see if you can get a little bit further with it. So we're going to turn first to two short passages that are often called the pillars of Mark. So turn into groups of two or three, and I'll write the references up. Once you look at Mark 1, verses 2 to 11. And Mark 9, verses 2 to 13. And just compare the passages and get out all the similarities between them. Okay, in groups of two or three. Okay. Okay, did that little pause mean people are basically there? Let's get some similarities. Beloved son. Who's speaking? God. Excellent. Other similarities.
John the Baptist and Elijah.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, John the Baptist and Elijah. John the Baptist maybe being Elijah. Yeah, very good. Other stuff. Yeah, meaning, try and put that positively.
So the dove coming down, the transfiguration, divine glory.
Yeah, quite a lot of weirdo. So it's not just a dove, is it? The heavens opened, that sort of thing. Yeah, weirdo stuff. Yep. Any others?
Because I told Jesus the main event.
Yeah. How do you get Jesus to the main event?
So, I mean, John's preparing the way for Jesus, so he's pointing forward to Jesus, and then actually, sort of, Elijah and Moses, they disappear. God's saying he's the one to listen to, at the end, he just left with Jesus.
Yeah.
I think the people's reaction to Jesus is the same as well. So, initially, people are coming to John to be baptized, and the disciples' reaction, initially, through Peter, is to... worship both Moses and Elijah as well as when God says, look, no, this is my beloved son.
Yeah. Which fits what Ruth just said. No, brilliant. Good. So the two really quite weird moments that stand out that have been called the pillars of Mark, which is why there's a kind of pillar being drawn on your thing, and they're basically halfway. And they're the two moments when God says what's going on. So the big sky opens. God says, this is my son. And they split the book into two halves. So if the basic division of the book is here, two halves, God speaks at the beginning of each half to say, this is my son. It also sets up one of the most important questions in the book. So God says, this is my son. And as you said, what's going to be important is whether people get it or not. So reaction to that, who do you think this is? Is this my son or not? And just to underline that, if that's sort of the beginning of each half, at the end of each half, there's a eureka moment where somebody gets who Jesus is. Someone understands. So they're on the sheet if you're on page 2. So in 8 verse 29, after chapter of frustration, Peter says, you are the Christ. And we're very pleased he's got it. And the second one, who says the second one? Who's speaking in the second one? Yeah, the centurion. So first one is surprising because we've had chapter after chapter of people not understanding. Second one is surprising because this is the man who just killed him, says, surely this was the Son of God. All of which is answering or filling out 1 verse 1. Mark is very, very easy. That's the only thing I'd like to get. Mark is very, very easy to get the big ideas. Lots of complicated things in it, lots of detail, but to get the big ideas, which is all we really want you to do, very, very easy. So from 1 verse 1, what is the book about? The book's about Jesus. So it's very easy. Answer very easy. So the book is about Jesus. Who is Jesus from 1 verse 1? Say again. There were two answers there.
Christ.
He's the Christ and the Son of God. At our Eureka moments, what do they work out at this one? It's Christ. And at this one? So God, there you go. That's Mark's business all done, basically. Will they believe he's the Christ, the Son of God? Halfway, and then yes, they do. And final question I guess we'd want to know would be, what are you supposed to do about it? And 1 verse 15, I want to suggest, is one of the most important verses in the book. Just look down at 1 verse 14, 1 verse 15. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. How much preaching does Jesus do in the book? Got a load of different answers. So, not much. Why do you say that?
Lots of time he's just doing miracles, or he does give some parables, but not as much as like John's.
Okay. Is that disagreement, or...? Yeah, yeah. Thank you. So, anyone got a red letter Bible? Oh, you have, with you, or not? Excellent, the one there as well. So if you had one of those annoying red letter Bibles, which makes it look as if only some of it's the Word of God, but if you open that up, there's actually not much red in Mark's Gospel, so not much when Jesus is speaking, with a couple of chapter exceptions. But Andy's completely right. There's lots of places where it says Jesus was teaching, or Jesus went all around Galilee proclaiming. And I think you're meant to keep saying, what is he saying? Have we got any more handouts? Brilliant. Solid. He's gone. Look at that. It's clever. What is Jesus saying? And 1 verse 15 is really easy to miss. 1 verse 15 tells you what Jesus preaches. So lots of the big speeches we have in Mark are kind of unusual speeches from Jesus, weird speeches explaining different things. His normal preaching is 1 verse 15. And what are you supposed to do? Mark's very easy. What are you supposed to do? Repent and believe. What are you supposed to repent and believe? The gospel. What's the gospel?
Jesus Christ,
the Son of God. Brilliant. So there you go. That's Mark's gospel. Very, very easy. And everywhere Jesus goes, he says the stuff in 1 verse 15. So particularly if you're leading RML, Mark, actually with Christian Explorer, it'd be more obvious because people are well aware the issue for them is, shall I repent and believe or not? And you'll find in Christian Explored that application really isn't a problem, because the people in the group with you, I remember the first group I ever led, one of them confessed that he'd had to go next door to the pub for something to actually get him through the door, so that he was able to come. And then other people in the group, so did I. You know, there'll be no problem getting to application in the group. They're there knowing this potentially would mean life-changing everything. But in Mark RML, they're there because they're Christians and you're supposed to be, and you'll need to keep bringing them back to 1 verse 15. I thought the first 8 weeks or so, you want to start with a recap that includes 1 verse 15. What does Jesus want us to do? What's his message? You remember? And it's very depressing, they never remember, but after about 8 weeks they might. 1 verse 15, repent and believe the good news. So have a go on your own. I'd like you to write down the purpose of Mark. Do you see at the bottom of page 2, I've left a little space. On your own, write that down, the purpose of Mark, and then you need to get into your 2s or 3s again, and you need to agree between you one purpose that you'll have. So you're allowed, you make like sort of a sentence that says, this is what Mark's all about. And do you know the difference between a purpose and a truth? So a truth is, it's quite cold, and a purpose is, turn the heat on! Okay, the purpose has the what you're meant to do about it. Or turn the heat on because it's really cold. So I want the what to do in your purpose. Is that okay? Okay. And sorry, I didn't tell you this. No jargon words are allowed. So most of the words I've used already are not allowed. Repent, words like that, not allowed. Okay, again. Okay, let's hear some purposes. So this is at the end of 7 weeks Christian Explored, at the end of a year of Mark RML. What do you want to have done to people? What do you want Mark to have done to people? Let's start. Can we start at the back? Let's get a purpose.
That people would stop trusting in themselves and turn to Jesus by believing in him.
Cool. Okay, just say that again.
The people stop trusting in themselves that they would turn to Jesus and believe he's the Son of God.
Good, thank you. Let's move down the room. Anyone want to say something differently? Put it a bit differently? Go on. Cool, good. You guys seem pretty happy, go on.
We had stop sinning, follow King Jesus, God's Son.
Okay, that's note of King for the first time. It's interesting. So Christ, what does Christ mean? Interesting, good. Anything back here?
Believe that Jesus is the promised Saviour, the Son of God, turn from your sin and follow him.
Okay, so that's going for Christ as promised Saviour. Okay, that's good. We like two little new things to bring in there. Good. Okay.
Yeah.
You set to music. So, yeah. That's good.
That's got a ring to it, all right. We thought that sing was a little bit too jargony, so we said turn away from your rebellious life and live for King Jesus.
Cool. And you see that's two slightly different ways of putting the... Yours was trusting yourself. Yours was rebellious life. Two slightly different things we're turning away from. That's good and interesting. Good. Anything to add down here?
We were wondering if we could use the word unclean.
Okay.
Turn from unclean, but we haven't got there so far this morning. So.
Yeah, that's fine. So the sneaky knowledge of Mark being used. Yeah, okay. So yeah, how would Mark talk about sin? Well, so Mark uses the word sin, definitely. But how would Mark talk about it? Just nicely, so both those were saying... Again, what does Mark talk about sin? Is sin trusting yourself? Is sin rebelliousness? Is sin uncleanness? And what is the essence of trusting Jesus? Is it not trusting yourself? Is it say good things to work out? Good. Excellent. I'd now like to do an exercise in slob groups. This I made people do immediately after arriving from breakfast last year, when it was just a little bit fierce. But now you're kind of warmed up to Mark. You know at least where the halfway point is. The blank piece of paper on the front page that you may have written on by mistake, you now need to turn into a grid like this, but that way up. Okay, I'm not going to move the board around, but that way up. And in slob groups, I'd like you to assemble Mark's gospel from memory with the book shut. Okay, so I assume everyone's been reading through Mark during the summer, like those emails say that you should do. So these are chapters. This is the halfway. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like that. And something from each, something that happens in each chapter. Ideally, the kind of main thing that happens in each chapter. See, between you can do that from memory. If you have some people in your group who've led Mark before, maybe see if they can get several things that happen in each chapter in the right order. Does that make sense? So it's kind of a fun exam. You ever had a fun exam? It's like that. It's like a quiz. There you go. So that's a fun exam, isn't it? So form up into slob groups. Does that exist for the Christian Explore people? And actually the student people can join their slob groups who are here. Yeah. Good, go. Where's Tim, I know I'm not allowed to touch it, but are you allowed to make it pause now so that we don't get ages of our slob group? Wearing it. This is going to be. How they do that without listening to the whole talk? I'm really sorry. Good. Okay. Does Reese remember? Is Reuben in your slot group?
No.
You're with us. Do you? Okay. Can we make it slightly bigger? In fact, I'll go and sit on the table. That's good.
Do you want the back? At the beginning, Jesus' ministry begins, and then he calls the disciples. So we've got John prepares the way, baptism and temptation. And Jesus begins his ministry. There is why he calls the first disciples.
Are we still in chapter 1?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Can we dive in?
So we should be nice to Reuben. Hello, Reuben. Reuben is in our subgroup. Can we be kind of more of a... So who's keeping our authentic list? Alex, you. So we've had a lot of chapter 1 from here. That's good. Just go chapter 1 again. John the Baptist.
John prepares the way. Baptism and temptation of Jesus. Jesus' ministry begins. So and he calls the first disciples. So when he says, like, turn and repent, like, then his ministry began to preach.
So that's 1 verse 15.
And then he drives out the evil spirit. Then he heals many, and he retires to a solitary place. He heals a leper, and then that's the end of chapter 1.
It's good. It's good. Very complete chapter 1. It's good. Let's go round, shall we? Chapter 2. So what happens to chapter 2? Yeah.
Chapter 2, the bit where he says he gets up early, or is that the end of chapter 1? Where he gets up early and says, look, my ministry is not to...
Excellent. Big important bit. What chapter is that in?
It's really close to the border. Yeah. Paralytic's the end of chapter 6.
Paralytic's beginning of chapter 2. Yeah.
That stuff is 1:38, 1:39, just for the leper. Yeah. Which is, remember, because he says, I'm not going to heal anymore, I'm going to preach. First thing he does is heal a leper. Yeah. Good paralytic. Anything else? Chapter 2? Anything else got anything else? Chapter 2? No, that's one.
Fasting.
That's just before that bit. Okay, fast. What about fasting?
The disciples are challenged. Jesus is challenged because why the disciples aren't fasting.
Yeah. 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 So there's a bunch of fights.
That's before the paralytic.
No, after.
First
after.
And
remember, just in between those two, what's the first fight? What does he do after he does paralytic?
Oh, there's Levi.
Levi. And I've come for sinners. Yeah. And that kicks off a load of fights with the Pharisees about things like fasting and the Sabbath and stuff like that. Good. Heather, chapter 3. What's left before we get to... So we'll come back to you for chapter 4.
So which bit was where he's reclining with these guys and Pharisees looking at him, why he's doing that? I'm not here to...
Yeah, that's Levi. So that's straight off the paralytic. Okay. That's the first fight. Series of fights. What happens if you fight over a while? What happens at the end of a fight?
3 verse 6. And the Pharisees go to plant
guilt. Yeah, say that. They couldn't hear.
Pharisees and Herodians in 3 verse 6 get together and say, we're going to kill Jesus.
Yeah.
Was that after the...
So that, yeah, sorry, that is the word at hand. Yeah, that's right. So chapter begins, we're going to kill Jesus. What's in the rest of chapter 3?
Calls the disciples.
He does. Yeah, calls some disciples. Anything else, chapter 3? We've done all I asked you to do. We've got something in chapter 3.
Family.
Yeah. So you got mad, bad, and God. Is he Satan? Is he God? Is he mad? Stuff in chapter 3. Yeah. 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 Brilliant. Chapter 4, Heather. Yeah. 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 Big teaching chapter. Can we do all the parables? So, Purpose parables. Lamp on the lampstand. Yeah, that's right at the end of the parables. Yeah, good. We'll need that. Hold that. No, that's back in chapter 2. That's a fight. The wineskins is one of the fights. Growing seeds and mustard seed. Brilliant. And then, Sarah, you're quite right. At the end of the chapter, coming the storm. Brilliant. Into chapter 5. Whose turn is it? Reuben, chapter 5. Can we do a bit earlier in chapter 5? Say again? What did you say? Yeah. Where's he going in the boat? So it's calming a storm in a boat.
Oh, he's going to Capernaum.
Yeah.
For the whole creature.
Yeah.
So like he's in the rocks and no one can
find him. Yeah. He's actually going from Capernaum, but you're quite right. Yeah. Demon-possessed man, legion, in the rocks in 5. That's exactly right. Second half of 5. Comes after legion. Yeah, goes back.
Final fear and faith, isn't it?
Yeah, so final fear and faith. We're in 4 and 5, the sort of all the miracles are big, supercharged miracles. No, it's a good day, we're not far away.
Sick woman
and the dead girl. So the biggest, big miracles. Yeah, bleeding woman, been dying for 12 years, dead girl. Brilliant. Takes us through into 6, and in 6 there is feeding the 5,000. Is that the only thing that happens in 6?
Profit without honour to start with.
Yeah, okay, so 6:1-6, we have a little bit of people in Nazareth not liking Jesus. Other big event, though, that isn't the feeding the 5,000? Yeah. Brilliant. 2 feasts in chapter 6. One where John the Baptist gets head chopped off, and one with Jesus. Good. Into chapter 7. You were going to tell us about chapter 7. Yeah. The whole Corban debate. There it is. Yeah. You're a dog woman. Yeah, then it all gets a little bit hazy. Yeah, there will be. So between now and halfway through 8, there's a lot of things that happen that it's really easy to get in the wrong order. I'm not sure I'm confident enough to adjudicate. What do we think? Do you go on?
Chapter 7 finishes with a deaf and mute man. Chapter 8 starts with the feeding of the 4,000. Then the Pharisees demand a sign.
Yeah.
To beware the yeast of the Pharisees. That's right.
And then
there's
the
blind man of Bethsaida.
Yeah.
Then there's the blind man of Bethsaida. Then there's Peter's confession.
Yeah. So a deaf guy and a blind guy, another feeding. And the disciples demanding a sign.
There's a deaf and mute man first at the end of chapter 7. Chapter 8 starts with the feeding of the 4,000. Then it goes on to the Pharisees demand a sign. Then there's the yeast of the Pharisees. Then there's the blind man of Bethsaida, which has the I kind of see, which then leads on to Peter's confession.
Yeah. Good. Sarah, can you take us from Peter's confession? Yep, brilliant. All still in chapter 8. And then, still in chapter 8. And then... Yeah. So rebukes, first prediction of death. Which is, still in 8. It's a big chapter 8. And then tells the disciples to take up their cross. Deny yourself, follow me. Good. Should we pick on Alex as well? Alex, give us a bit of chapter 9. Yep. So second pillar, transfiguration, and second half of 9. In fact, 9's a long chapter. Yeah, we're going to get all that. That's definitely in 8, 9, and 10. They come down off the mountain of transfiguration into... Yeah. So it's his son, I think, is Not Jairus. No, we've had Jairus in 5. It's the boy with the evil spirit who says, I believe, help my unbelief. Followed by, still in 9. Followed by the next prediction. So predictions come really regularly. Prediction is death. Followed by, Reuben. No, that was the one in 10, but it's the similar... yeah, that's right. Similar disciples being an idiot. Say again? Yeah, that's right, that's right.
Transfiguration is a sick boy. Yeah, yeah. Who is the greatest? Then he was forced to go against us and then causing to sin.
Yeah. Causing to sin stuff, which is the chop off your hands, put a millstone around your neck, throw stuff in. Now, this is all still 9. Massive chapter. Chapter 9. Good. And account chapter 10. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. So halfway through the chapter, Jesus predicts his death again. Then they say they want to sit next to him in glory. And then... let's keep going from where we... Yeah. This is another blind man miracle at the very end of the chapter. It's quite an important verse in chapter 10. Yeah. So the opposite of wanting to sit on your right and left is going and dying on a cross. But yeah, earlier in chapter 10.
Divorce, children of God, then as the rich young ruler.
Yeah. No, Sadducees way off yet. They're still in Jerusalem waiting for him. But yeah, divorce, teaching about divorce. Followed by be like a child, followed by the rich young ruler. Yeah. And then the prediction and the, yeah. Good. So 11 is me. 11 we finally arrive in Jerusalem, triumphal entry, donkeys, things like that, followed by big smashing of things in the temple, followed by the beginning of the next set of fights, which begins with who gives you the authority to do this? At the end of chapter 11. Yeah. Chapter 12.
Parable of the tenant.
Yeah.
Followed by questioning on paying taxes to Caesar. Then there's questions on the resurrection.
Sadducees.
Then one of the guys asked Jesus what is the greatest commandment. And Jesus talks about whether how David can't be the Christ Father or the other way around. Then.
How does it finish? Chapter 12, one more thing in chapter 12. You then have a widow. But basically what you need to know about chapter 12 is lots more fights. So from 11 into 12, lots more fights. Good. 13, Sarah. Yeah, there's 2 fig trees. One's in 11. Sorry, yeah, but I left that out. So the cursing of the fig tree is back in 11. But there is a fig tree in chapter 13. No, that's all in 11. It's a different fig tree. What's 13? Yeah. 13's the big... So like chapter 4, 13, big preaching all about the end of the world. The abomination that causes desolation. All that sort of stuff.
So the man tree turn.
Yeah.
The fig tree and beyond God.
Yeah. All of that. Chapter 14. Chapter 14. Chapter 14. There's only 3 chapters left now. Say again? They have not gone to Gethsemane, not in 14. Is that right?
Yeah.
Say again? Yeah, anointed at Bethany. Brilliant. Is that at the beginning of the chapter? Passover? Yeah. Yeah, eat the Passover. What do they go to Gethsemane in 14?
There is. It's 2 days before Passover. Then the first hint that they're going to get betrayed.
Yeah, they do.
Then they have the
so you were right. Yeah.
Then they have the anointing, then Judas is going to betray.
So it's the Passover Judas.
And then preparations for Passover, and then one of the 12 will betray, and then the Lord's Supper, and then they have Peter saying, I won't leave you, and then there is Elijah, and then the betrayal, and then the naked man, and then Jesus.
Naked man, yeah, very important.
And then Peter, poor little girl.
Yeah. So we've got Jesus, yeah, Jesus has been arrested by the end of 14, and on his trial, 15? Some more trials. Yeah. Followed by
mocking.
Yeah. Some mockings and floggings. Peter, I think we finished with by then. We finished with him at the end of 14. What else happened in the 15? Quite a big event. He dies. Yeah. That satisfies our one thing we need to remember from chapter 15. Second? Yeah. This is the Son of God. One more thing happens in 15.
The women and then the burial.
Yep, gets buried. 15. And in 16, whose turn is it? Sarah? Yeah. Brilliant. Sunday evening may have helped. That's good. Excellent. Terrified or encouraged? Yeah.
Well, I knew that Dad had been
I've been reading Mark.
Terrified or encouraged? We'll do more work on structure. It's not too hard to have a structure in your head of what's going on. It's really interesting the bits you leave out. So stuff you don't really understand or don't like, you just forget and delete. And don't remember where it comes. And some of it's really hard to keep in order because it's quite similar and quick. But yeah, good to get the big headlines in. Let's just go around once again. So one thing from each chapter, just one thing, one big thing from each chapter. No looking, turn your page over. Chapter 1.
Jesus' ministry begins, John the Anyway.
Second? Yeah. That was Jesus is the Christ. Transfiguration.
Divorce.
Controversially, the biggest thing in chapter 10. It's just the first thing. So we've broken your system.
Jesus did not come to serve, to be served.
Yeah. 11. Lovely. That was a donkey. Yeah, okay.
Shopping trolley.
12. Yeah. Parable of the Tenants. 13.
The abomination.
Yeah. 14. 15. 16. Good. Excellent. Very good. Lovely. Let's just see if the other groups have finished. How are you guys doing? How far are you? Halfway. Hi, how are you guys doing? How far through?
We haven't really done this bit yet.
Okay, that's cool, that's cool. That's clever, go to the bits you know. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're just trying to spell out 12.
Cool, keep good. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're also chapter 14.
Okay, good, good. Yeah. My notes.
I'm a participant in a bar group, right?
Yeah, I think we'd like you to be. So sort of this for a bit of training, and then being a group for fun until you're leading a group. Interesting. Do you know why he chose Central Focus? Okay. So it'd be worth finding out from him. No, cool. I think chat to him and then see him and talk to us. So you were trying to reset the water machine. Yeah, that's fine. They're just too slow over there. You have 1 minute left. 1 minute left. Okay, I'm going to say that's time up. Time to just slightly swivel around, stay in your groups, because we're just going to we're going to see if we can get group by group the biggest thing in each chapter. So not not listing out everything that happens, but biggest thing in chapter one. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Biggest thing in chapter two. Yep, came for sinners, which then, in terms of the story, I guess in terms of story, we should do as well. Big thing is Jesus arriving. Big thing here is probably leading to a big fight. So he's come for sinners. Three, big thing in three. Right by there, right by there. Don't help him too much. No right answers. Go with your gut. Yeah, want to kill him, that leads to kill, which leads to his response. Well, everything else in that chapter, the one I threw on the floor was better. Everything else in that chapter is Jesus saying, what's he going to do about the fact they've rejected him? Chapter 4. Chapter 4, parables about people's responses. Good. Chapter 5. Yeah, lots on faith and really big miracles. Big miracles with thousands of demons and that sort of thing and dead people. Chapter 6, big thing in chapter 6.
Jesus saves them in a storm, so their belief, the disciples' belief, not recognizing
Jesus. Yes, we've got another, we've got boats coming up in storms, so there isn't one in 5. Yeah, is that the big thing in 6? If you were thinking, if you're filming it, what would the big thing you'd see? It'd be quite exciting. Big boats. What else happens in 6? Say again? That's in 7. There's 2 big meals, feeding 5,000 and Herod's big feast. So meals. But the boats is good. We'll need that. Is that an S? Yeah, good. Big thing in 7. Back here. Yeah, hearts full of poo. I'll take that as big thing in 7. Big thing in 8. Yeah, you are the Christ. Lots of big things in 8. That's good. Back in 9 then.
Transfiguration.
Lots of the same stuff as over here. Good. Big thing in 10. Yeah, Jesus came to serve and die. And then in 11, judgment temple, he arrives in Jerusalem. Finally arrives in Jerusalem. Judgment, stuff like that, which leads to a big fight in 12. Give you that one for 3. 13. Big thing in 13. Yeah, that's good. So, yeah, that's right. So again, it's a big teaching chapter, just like 4. And this one is about Jerusalem and the end of the world. Big thing in 14. Yeah. All piling towards what happens in chapter 15.
Crucifixion.
And Alex Weston, what happens in chapter 16? Resurrection. Good. Thank you. I hope that was encouraging rather than discouraging. In that actually, the book, it just flows as one story. We're piling towards the death of Jesus. It all makes some sort of sense. Sweeping in towards the end. Turn the page to page 3. Well, actually, let me just ask, what do you notice putting the thing together like that? What do you notice about Mark? What sort of book is Mark? Story, narrative. Yeah, lots of little things in it, action-packed, lots of boom, 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 boom. Yeah, lots of structure, and we'll keep working on that. Good, thank you. That's most of it, I think. What?
It's a journey towards...
Yeah, so from halfway, we're on our way to Jerusalem. Big, it's a travel story. What do you call those? Don't know. Anyway, yeah, it's sort of all about it's just... It's a road trip. That's a road trip film. Going to Jerusalem, where we arrive, and then some things happen. That's the second half of the book. Brilliant. It's lots of... So, wow is the most frequently used word in the book. Not actually in our English translations, but amazement. They were amazed. Comes up again and again and again and again. Big, exciting, let's go, next, 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 next. Is big in the book. Good. On the page here is a structure for the book. Which is, this is old RML. This is what the RML training used to say. This is what UCCF's training notes with the Mark's Gospels they gave away recently said. This is what Rico Tice will tell you in the Christian Explored training stuff because he learned it from us here at St. Helens. he'd say that. The first half of the book is all about who is Jesus. And then at the kind of halfway pillar where they get who Jesus is, then the second half is all about why did Jesus come and what does Jesus require? What does Jesus want? So in your groups, there's some questions on page 3. Basically, what do you think of that structure? Do you like it? What do you think of it? And we'll run this up towards the coffee break at 2:15. Okay, yeah, so let's go strengths first. Yeah, that's good. Hold there.
So the disciples, so with the commandments, they realise who he is. And then at the end of this, they kind of start to realise why.
Yeah, that's how, so this is a good description of the disciples' journey. Yeah. Yeah.
Some sheer volume of what Christ requires and about discipleship and taking it across, being like a child. Not supposed to be able to take it across, but like a child. First should be last. All that does come in the second half.
And the three predictions that he's going to die.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other strengths?
Such a weight of evidence for his authority over so many other things, I think, as a person leading Chris Hadley, it's just really important to prove that Jesus was the Son of God by the things that he did. So that's the reason.
Yeah.
Easy to remember, that's a good strength.
Yeah, yeah. Really helpful, clear structure, isn't it? Here I am, first half of the book, I'm trying to tell people who he is. Yeah.
Yeah. Get to the purpose.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a good thing if you're making it.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. And do you think the questions are they important to the to Mark's purpose? Those three questions. Yeah. So it's yeah. Good. Any other strengths? Okay, we're going to allow a negative can in now. So,
first of all, there are, the main predictions are after the halfway, but yet there are things beforehand that happen that hint that Jesus might die.
Mm-hmm. Like, in particular?
So, Herodians and Pharisees.
They decide to kill him earlier on. Yeah. Back in chapter 3.
Already said about repenting and believing. Also, taking up the cross, that's kind of like a response thing, and that comes before the door.
Yeah.
It's kind of very mind.
So, the line may not be very sharp. Yeah. 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 Any other weaknesses, or how much of the book to explain? What does it leave out? Yeah, two hubs definitely related, strongly related. Yeah.
Son of God has that authority. So it's like it's a halfway understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you need to establish that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, carry on learning about the nature of his death right to the very end, which
performed
who he is. So right up to the episode with Barabbas, where we learn about that exchange that takes place.
That is all why did he come stuff, isn't it?
Why did he come? So why did he come?
Yeah. Anything else to add? What do we think about that division? This isn't going to take us till coffee, is it? No. Yeah. But they're different questions, aren't they? Yeah. Good. I'm happy. I think that's enough. My home. So we will. Give the other group experience. Who's led Mark somewhere else other than here? You guys have to do Mark in Durham or somewhere else? No? Yeah. Yeah, okay. 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 Cool. And did... Cool. Did you use this structure? Don't remember. CE. Yeah. Okay, good. I've changed my mind. Let's talk about this before coffee. Are the groups more or less there? Guys, more or less there? And that was took the same I thought. Strengths of this structure? Strengths of this structure?
Simple.
It's simple. Has everyone remembered it? What are the three questions? Don't look. Yeah, brilliant. Simple, easy to remember. Are those good questions to ask in Mark? Are those important questions?
Yeah,
we're right on the money with the main purpose that we did a little while ago, aren't we? Good. What else is good about this structure?
I think because of the first in 1:15, if you're focused on this structure, then you're going to be really for people to believe in it. You're going to be really trying to help them understand who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Primarily.
Yeah. Yeah, which really fits the sort of from chapter 4, from the boat in chapter 4 up to when Peter gets it. You know, why doesn't Peter see who it is? That fits really, really well. And that's the big excitement. Yeah, good. Keep going. Other strengths?
You said it fits well with the disciples' journey.
Yeah. So the disciples follow this order, I think. They spend 8 chapters trying to work out who this is. And then at the halfway point, they realize they don't know why he's going to come. And they spend 8 chapters being taught, why is he going to come and what does he require? So it fits them very well, fits the disciples very well. Cool. Any other strengths, Tim?
It helps you to step out of getting bogged down in complicated things. But it also helps you step away from those things when you're getting caught up.
Yeah, brilliant. So we need, whether we end up liking the structure or not, we want something at least this clear and simple. And we want to keep thinking big picture in a book that is, like we said, tiny incident, tiny incident, tiny incident. We need a way of stepping back and saying, what's Mark doing here? Brilliant. Any other strengths to it? I think it fits the halfway point really, really well as well. So you have this frustration. Who's Jesus? Who's Jesus? Will they get it? Yes, he's got it. You are the Christ. Followed immediately, what's the next thing that happens to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. Okay, so you have this very, very stark, what they have understood, followed immediately by what they haven't understood, which is, you've understood he's the Christ, you haven't understood why he came. Peter gets called Satan because he rebukes Jesus for saying he's got to die. So it fits really well, that halfway thing, that yes, you've got who he is, you don't know who's going to die, and you don't know what that means for you. Take up your cross and follow me. So it works really, really well at the halfway point. Good. Any weaknesses to it? Sam?
I think there's a potential weakness in the fact that you're separating Christ's identity with why he comes.
Yeah, brilliant. And that, I think you've always got to do things like that when you simplify and summarise. But yeah, you're right. It could leave you thinking they've completely understood his identity in the end of chapter 8. So yes, they haven't really understood who he is till they've understood he's got to die. What else? Where's another big bit of identity, Eureka? Chapter 15, Son of God. So actually 1 verse 1 tells you what you need to know about him is he's the Christ, the Son of God. They've only got half of that by chapter 8. So that's a little bit of a problem for the structure. Good. Any other problems with the structure? Yeah, brilliant. And that's probably the main weakness with it, is it says all you're allowed to do in chapters 1 to 8 is say, what does this passage tell us about who Jesus is? So yeah, where's the first place we get, what are we supposed to do about Jesus? Repent and believe, 1:15, slightly earlier on. What about, where are the big bits of why did Jesus come? Chapter 2:17, save sinners, unfortunately in the wrong chapter, wrong half of the book. In fact, let's do this now. Turn to page 5. I wasn't sure when to do this. Page 5, 3 times in Mark's Gospel, you get a big shock about what Jesus came to do. And they're structured the same each time. What do you call it? When you negate one thing and positive another thing. What is that? Has a name? When you say not this, but that. Sure, that has a name. Yeah, well, that's the negative bit, but then the positive bit as well. But anyway, so three times Jesus says... yeah, it's that sort of thing. So three times Jesus says, I've not come to do this, but I have come to do that. So 2:17 and 10:45, really clear. I have not come for the righteous, but I have come to call sinners. 10:45, I've not come to be served, but I've come to serve. 1:38, very similar. He doesn't say the not bit, but it's clear from context. I've not come to heal, but I've come to preach. Three really shocking things, still shocking, I think, in our culture. So lots of CUs, lots of students, lots of churches haven't understood 1:38. Jesus isn't about being nice, isn't about sorting out the world now, changing the world, healing. Instead, he's come to preach. That's weird. Why would you do that, Jesus? 2:17, big shock. Not come for good people, nice people, people in their hats in church, but he's come for the sinners. 10:45, big shock, especially if you've got 1:1. God, the King, the promised Saviour, has not come to be served, but instead he's going to get killed. And as you see, two or three of those belong in the who is he section. So that's slightly unfortunate. Good, we're going to have coffee. So we're saying those are the right issues, but slightly simplistic on the structure. And we're going to try and, it's not a bad map, particularly good on the flow of the disciples' life. We're going to try and improve on it after coffee. So coffee now until, when are we back in here? Until 11:15. That's a generous coffee break, isn't it?